Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor forever and ever. Lord, I thank you that tonight you are releasing something that is bigger than we are, Father. I feel a shaking in the Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you will give me, sir, every word, every thought, every idea. I thank you, Father, that you are releasing something into the earth tonight. Thank you, Father, that you are releasing something of your Spirit for the bride tonight. And I believe, Father, that it is a delivery from heaven in Jesus' name. So welcome to those of you who are coming. I pray God's blessing on you. I pray that God fill you with his Spirit. Fill you with his power, fill you with his strength, fill you with his courage. I'm feeling something that's really strong. I've been feeling it all day. This was actually, Lori was going to speak tonight, but I had this shaking going on that's very uncommon. I've had it before, but it's not a common thing. And when it happens, it's as though there's a shaking in heaven because something is being released into the earth. And so I'm giving it a minute for a few more people to join because I feel like this is important. I may not go long. I'm going to deliver whatever God has me deliver. Father, I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. And I thank you, Father. Right now I speak, Father, that we receive what you are delivering into the earth by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Okay, so I'm just going to share a couple things. About a year ago, I had what you might call a trip to heaven. I went into the Spirit, and I was taken to a place, and I didn't understand at first what I was seeing. I was taken into a room, and I saw a woman laying on a bed, and she was covered, her abdomen area, her stomach area. It was as though she had been shot. She hadn't been shot, but she was bleeding. And there was blood upon her, and I knew that I was looking at the body of Christ, that the bride had been injured. And God brought it back to me as I was praying for tonight. And he began to share with me that this is a day where he is raising her up. And these are not just words. I'm actually feeling the shaking of heaven. I'm feeling an opening from heaven. I'm feeling a releasing from heaven. I feel like he is speaking to the bride. He is saying it. I'm not saying it. This stuff does not come from humans. It cannot. But I'm seeing an awakening and a rising. I'm hearing that he is speaking to his bride with great love, not with judgment, but with great love and compassion. He is saying, arise and shine, for your light has come. He's saying, awake, sleeper. I'm seeing him heal trauma. Back when I saw this, probably just about a year ago, maybe a little less than that, when I saw this, I knew that the body had been beat up. And of course, the body's made up of individuals. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about what he's showing me about individuals and even individual organizations in the body of Christ, churches, ministries, but mostly individuals. Some of you have an assignment, and I'm just going to say this. I'll probably say this again at the end. If this ministers to you by the Spirit, if you believe this is a word from the Spirit, please share it, and not for any other reason that I believe God is speaking something to his body. And I've noticed there's a lot of stuff out there being said that I don't believe all God, okay? Oh, I'll just leave it at that. But the shaking that I'm seeing is going to heal the bride. It is going to raise her up. And I saw power and strength in a new way. But what I was seeing as I meditated on this last year, as I prayed for the body of Christ, I've been praying for the body of Christ for a long time, praying that she'll come into her own, so to speak. Because we know that in the last day she rises up as never before. That the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. We know this by the scriptures. We know by the scriptures that the last day bride will accomplish more. Hallelujah. Than the apostles did in the first day, even though we love them, we admire, we love the word, we love the scriptures that they were used to write. We live on the word, we eat the word. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, that the last day will be stronger and better. So there's something that has to happen. I'm going to tell you, we cannot do this in the flesh. We don't have the ability to heal ourselves. We don't have the ability to raise ourselves, but we do have the ability to position ourselves to receive the resurrection from the dead, we might call it. There will be a raising from the dead, so to speak, of this body. She isn't dead, but she's been injured pretty badly. And what that looks like is that individuals, ministries, organizations, people in the body, from the least to the greatest, all kinds of people, but people who are born again and they love the Lord, but some of them are feeble, some of them are weak, some of them are pretty strong. But what I'm seeing is a lot of people have been taken out, and this is what God showed me. There has always been a war on, but in every war, there's sometimes a lull in the fighting in one place, the fighting moves to another place. You know, in every war, this goes on. And there's a lot of strategy. We don't always see what Satan is doing. We don't always see. He is smart enough to set decoys in one area to keep us from dealing with the real area. He's been doing this forever. But God has also been doing it forever. If you read the Old Testament wars, if you read the Old Testament, read about the wars, they are a picture of war in the spirit and all the different ways that God likes to win the battle. Those are pictures of what goes on in the realm of the spirit. There are strategies. And one of Satan's strategies that has gone on for centuries is that a person may know their assignment. They may believe they're called to do something. They may have the unction. They may have the gifting. But what happens is Satan says, well, I don't want that to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit them in another area. I'm going to hit them in their family. I'm going to hit them in a relationship. I'm going to hit them with physical illness. I'm going to hit them with all these different things. And I'm going to divert their attention away from the real thing. And sometimes the hit is hard enough. Listen, if we aren't prayed up, if we are not a person of strong prayer, we're going to get hit and taken out and not even know what hit us. It happened to me. It happened to me years and years ago. I took a hit, and actually it was a series of hits that went on for a long time, and it was so stunning when it happened. It was so shocking. I actually went into shock. And when it happened, I didn't know how to deal with it. So I've always been a prayer warrior. So the way I dealt with it was pray and pray and pray. But I did not realize that I was actually tricked in a way by the enemy. I took my focus and I shifted. I blew it. And I didn't even know it for some years. But I'm just giving you an example of what can happen and what has happened to some of us. My focus shifted off of Jesus. Now I was praying more than ever. I was in church more than ever. I was in the word more than ever. And yet my focus shifted on to solving that problem. Do you hear me? The issue and the circumstance became my focus instead of Jesus Christ. I didn't realize how badly I blew it for some years. And I noticed some years later when I was kind of coming back from the dead, so to speak, I said, Lord, I noticed that there were certain gifts that I used to move in really strongly, and I noticed they seemed to fade or pull back right about the time of that crisis. And I know you don't ever take our gifts away. Somehow I know that I blew it, but what do I do to get it back? I said, and first of all, what did I do? How did I miss that? He said, you took your focus off of me, and you put it onto fixing the problem. Now, that's just one example of a strategy of Satan. Sometimes he'll hit you with an emotional hurt that will take your focus off of Jesus. And these are legitimate hurts. I don't want to pretend like they're not legitimate. Sometimes it can be stunning, the effect of what he can try. And I will tell you this, the more you're called to do, the more you're calling, the more he will work on what it takes to knock you out. Sometimes I've seen Satan work a year on a setup to try to get a person set up to a place where they're isolated, right? They're not surrounded. They don't have fellowship. They don't have strength. They're not in prayer. They're not in the word. And then nail them because they're strong enough, right? If you're a strong person, he knows he can't just come in and do one hit. If you're a strong person and you know your way around, right? Then he says, well, I'm going to work on it for a while. I'm going to set them up, and then I'm going to nail them. That's a strategy. Well, what I saw when I saw the bride so wounded that in that vision, I knew that she had been very nearly killed, and I saw that there had been great trauma. You know, trauma will damage the body, but it also can damage the soul, and it can do such damage that it can be crippling both internally and externally, okay? And I don't by any means want to minimize what anyone has gone through. I know what it's like to go through something that ruins your whole life. Everything you believed for, everything you hoped for, every dream you ever had, I know what that's like. It happened to me. You know, and I thank God that God didn't give up on me and that he didn't leave me. I was like the person in the story of the Good Samaritan. I was like the one that got beat up and left for dead. I couldn't raise myself up. I couldn't heal myself. I couldn't do anything. But Jesus came along and he sent someone to help. He sent someone to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And he poured in the oil and the wine. He poured in the healing balm of Gilead. He poured in truth. Most of all, he poured in truth. Because we have to have truth in the inmost parts in order to rise again, right? We have to have that. Because if we don't have that, then we're trying to go through life with misunderstandings, false belief systems, and we miss it, okay? And we lay there crippled, broken, bleeding, and in trauma. And most of the people I'm talking to at one time or another, and some of you many times, have been hit, even traumatized, some physically, some mentally, some emotionally, some spiritually, to a place where there has been damage to your soul. And what God is saying, I see him doing massive healing and raising up in the body to those that have been calling out to him. To those that are calling out to him about the kingdom and not just about their own need. To those that are saying, listen, I know I'm called to do something. I don't know how to do it. I know I'm somebody in the kingdom, but I don't even know how to do what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to do certain things, but Lord, help me get well enough or healed enough or strong enough to do it. If your heart has been for him, just for yourself, God is issuing not just a statement. You know, a statement, I'm just going to say this, a statement in heaven is much bigger than we think of a statement on earth. On earth, we consider a statement a sentence, a statement of fact. In heaven, when a statement is issued, it is an entire package of creative power. You understand? The universe was created by a statement. The planet, the sun, the light was created by a statement. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, right? Being birthed into a human body. He was the eternal I Am. Jesus, Yeshua. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The Bible talks about him. Isaiah prophesied him. Prophesied him. And where it says, he shall be called, you know, the Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, the true Hebrew translation is Father of Eternity. Yeshua is the Father of Eternity. He said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. It says all the express image of the Father was in his body. All the power of the Godhead bodily was in him, in his mortal body when he walked the face of this earth. That's who we're dealing with. And he was called the Word of God, the statement of God. God was making a statement in the earth, Jesus Christ. This is my statement. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. This is my son. Listen to him. That's the statement I'm making. And Jesus went around showing God. He said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Have you been with me so long, Philip, and you haven't known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He talked about the works that he was doing. He said, the Father in me does them. How was the Father in him? By the Spirit. Jesus was doing the works of heaven by the throne of heaven, right? By the Holy Spirit from heaven flowing through him. He was making a statement, this is heaven, this is what it looks like. All you've seen so far, this, imagine being here 2,000 years ago. They'd never seen anything like Yeshua. They'd never seen the man that was born blind. He said, never in the history of the world has a man born blind been healed. Nobody's ever done this. This was an argument to the Pharisees. And they got mad and they said, you were born in sin, you're trying to tell us? He said, listen, all I know is I was blind and now I see. He knew. Yeshua was the Messiah. He knew he was God. He knew he was the real thing. And they got mad, said, who are you to tell us? Listen, I was blind and now I see. In other words, let's see you try it, Buster. Let's see you try it, Pharisees. Let's see you try it. You're full of words. You're full of knowledge. You're full of doctrine, but you have no juice. You got no power. You weren't able to heal me. You walked by me every day and you couldn't heal me. But here comes this man that you won't even recognize. That's what he was saying. Jesus was a statement. He was a word of God from heaven. And I'm telling you, God is issuing a word, a statement. I'm feeling a shaking. It feels as though my body is opening. It feels as the body of Christ, listen, all over the world, the body of Christ, I'm telling you, he's raising her up. There's resurrection power. And I'm telling you, the bride is getting up again. I'm telling you, watch for it and listen, because God is getting ready to do a thing. He's calling his bride to attention, but he's not going to expect her to do it in her own strength when she's been wounded. There is going to come a healing. Some of you are going to be healed in your soul. Some of you are going to be healed emotionally. Some of you are going to believe God. Don't worry. Don't say, well, how can it be? I've been trying to get my healing for 8 years. I've been trying to get my healing for 12 years. Don't worry about that. Just dare to believe if God said it, he is doing it. Not he will do it. He is doing it. And he has already issued the order. And listen, once God issues an order, it's already done. It's already been done in heaven, and what is happening is it's filtering into the earth through those who speak it, through those who believe it. Your faith and your words release into the earth what God is doing. And I'm telling you, listen, it says that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. All this crud we're seeing right now, this is nothing but kingdom against kingdom. If you could see in the realm of the spirit what Satan is trying to do, this is a demonic fight. And our fight is not against flesh and blood. And I know it makes us mad. We get mad and we say stuff, you know, boy, oh boy, if they come to my house, you know, we say all kinds of stuff, right? We get angry in the flesh. But listen, the anger of man, the Bible says, does not release the righteousness of God. The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. God has to do it by his spirit. So we have to get in league with God to be saying what he's saying, releasing what he's releasing. You have more power than you know. And God is going to begin to release into you the healing power of Christ. Some of you are going to be released from trauma. Some of you are going to be released from past hurts, wounds. There's some of you that were, the things happened to you that you've never been fully healed of. And it's caused you to walk with a limp. I'm talking to somebody right now. It's caused you to walk. I don't mean a natural limp. I mean it's caused you to walk with an emotional and mental and spiritual limp for years. And you've always thought, if only I could be free of this. If only I could be healed. If only my memories were healed. If I could get past this. Well, I'm telling you, God is releasing you. I'm actually seeing cords come untied, knots coming untied. God is freeing, he's raising, and he's healing. And the reason is he is just about to set his bride up, and the world is not ready for the power that I'm seeing. I'm telling you, the bride of Christ is getting ready to release a roar. She's getting ready to release, and it won't be her. It won't be humans. This isn't something a human can do. No human has ever existed except Yeshua, except him. No one has ever existed that has the power to do it in the flesh or to release it in the flesh. Even when it's delivered, it has to be delivered by the Spirit in us. And people will know the difference, because when somebody speaks by the Spirit, the listeners usually are shaking or feeling the goosebump or feeling a heat or feeling the presence. They can tell the difference. If you can't feel it right now, it might be dead. Hallelujah. You need to be born again. If you can't feel it, I'm telling you, the presence of God is here. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is speaking. I'm telling you, he's getting ready to raise up whosoever will. So don't look at how bad it is. Don't look at how bad your circumstances are. Stop whining. God is getting ready to do something bigger than any of us have ever seen, and it's going to be glorious. But if you stay in the whining, you'll stay in the past. You can refuse this if you want, right? You can refuse it by staying in self-pity, staying in poor me. God, help me. Why don't you help me? Things are so bad. You can refuse it, and God will let you. He loves you, but he will not make you do this. God will not make you. But he is calling us to attention. You know, I think I shared this on Sunday. I heard him saying all hands on deck, and I saw this vast ship. I'm saying it again in case you weren't there. I'm saying it again. I saw one of those huge naval ships. You know, those things are just massive. And I heard all hands on deck, and everybody from the lowest deck, I mean everybody's supposed to get up on that deck, come right to their place in formation and at attention. But what I saw was some people were scrambling to get into a position, which is what we're supposed to do, but there were some below decks that were so dull of hearing. They were dull spiritually. And they saw people running and they were kind of like, Oh, I wonder what's going on. They were dull. Jesus talked about the fact that some of us are dull of hearing. When I was very young in the Lord, he gave me that scripture. It wasn't a lot of fun, but he said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know what he was saying to me? And I was brand new. I was a brand new Christian, just full of the Spirit and full of hunger and thirst. I wanted God with all my heart. I was chasing after God with everything I had. But he was saying, I have something more to give you, but you cannot bear it now. In other words, you have to grow in maturity. You have to step up to the plate. You have to get ready to make your vessel ready. Because to carry some things, we have to make our vessel ready. And what he's saying is that he will do it by the Spirit. But if you stay below decks and are dull of spirit and you don't heed the call, he can't do it with you. But at the same time, you cannot, no one can do it without him. Nobody can. Just like nobody could do what Jesus did except Jesus. Except here's the difference. And I want you to picture this. I want you to understand this. When Jesus does it now, it'll be Jesus in you. Jesus in me. We will be working in tandem. You understand that the Bible says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That means in your mortal body, inside your mortal body, your spirit man, your born again spirit, if you're born again, and if you're not, call me up. You need to get born again. Okay? You need to be born again. You must, the Bible says, you must be born again. But when you're born again, you receive, you're not just forgiven, you receive an eternal, immortal spirit that when your body dies, that spirit steps right over. Boom. It has already been made holy. Did you know that? Because it's made after the image of his holiness. It says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness. How did we become the righteousness? In your spirit man. Your born-again spirit looks like Jesus. Put that in tandem with the Holy Spirit. Right? That's actually, I believe, I've never heard anybody else say this, and I could be, you know, you don't have to agree with this, but I believe your born-again spirit is the new wineskin. That he couldn't pour in new wine unless you had a new wineskin. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God, right? John 3:3. Unless man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. When you get your born again spirit, that's a new wineskin. Now we ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They pour that, which is what? The new wine. He pours it into our body, into our vessel. We are filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. Why? To receive power, the Bible says, from on high. Power for what? To become bold witnesses in this day. I'm telling you, this is the day where bold witnesses will rise up and they'll go, I'm telling it, I'm seeing it, I'm seeing it, I'm seeing it. Street corners where people so bold and so full of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you know, you could never do it in the flesh. And if you tried to do it in the flesh, you might be fearful. What if they throw a brick at me? But when somebody's overtaken by the Spirit of God, they know. It is time to go and speak, and they won't back down to anybody. And I will tell you what, the fear of the Lord attends them. You know, when you're full of the power of the Spirit, people are afraid of you. Did you know that? Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what anything about you. Doesn't matter. When you have the Spirit of the Lord upon you, people are afraid. I've seen it for years. When we have meetings that are full of the power of God, people are afraid to do that silliness in the flesh because they know they'll know that they'll be exposed by the Spirit of God. They know everybody will know that wasn't God. Because when you're in the presence, everybody knows. I said, when you're in the presence, everybody knows, right? And so people are afraid, and it's a good thing. And see, the church walked in such silliness and at such a low level for so long that people lost respect for the church. They lost respect for God. They lost the fear of the Lord. They lost respect for the Word, and it was because of the way we were walking. You know, and no offense to anybody here. I know you didn't do it, but I'm talking about in generations before, that all kinds of garbage was being taught, all kinds of silliness, judgment, condemnation, no power, you know, denying the power thereof, demanding people be righteous, but not telling them how to do it, not talking to them about the grace and the power of the Spirit in them to do it, right? They were supposed to, what, be a Christian by some physical act of their own? It's not possible. I'm just going to say it for those of you who don't know. You cannot be a good Christian without the power of the Spirit. It's not possible. Your flesh doesn't have the ability, and mine doesn't either. So give up on that whole thing. If you're dealing with condemnation and guilt, throw it away. That's a time waster. It's a complete waste of time. It's garbage from the devil. God doesn't even have that for you. What he's saying is, it's a sign to shift from trying to do it yourself. You can't. Let me do it through you. So the issue is learning how to stop trying to do it in your ability and let his ability do it through you. Let his ability speak through you. Let his ability solve problems through you. Let his ability pray through you. When I go to a prayer meeting and my flesh doesn't feel like it, I call on the power of God. Oh, Lord, Holy Ghost, let your grace rise up and pray through me what you want prayed. Ho rabba hashikia kahai. And the power of the Lord shows up. Not because I did it, because I didn't feel like it. Hallelujah. If I go to preach and I don't have the anointing on me, oh, Jesus, show up in your power and grace. Give me the grace, your ability to do what I cannot do. And pretty soon the power of the Lord shows up and I didn't do anything right. You understand? He doesn't use us because of our righteousness. He uses us because of his. He doesn't use us because we're worthy. He uses us because he is worthy. So forget all that stuff. Forget all the false judgments, all the guilt, all the condemnation, and focus on one thing. Get as close to your Father as you know how to get. Pray as much into the Spirit as you know how to pray. Get your face in the Word and become familiar with what it's saying. Because I'm telling you, we're coming into times where we're going to want the Word of God on our side. We're going to want to proclaim the Word of God. And I'm telling you, we will see. We will see. We've already seen it. Listen, we've already seen it, but we've only seen it in bits and pieces with onesies and twosies. Right? Great men and women of God have showed up with miracle-working power, but it's been few and far between. But they were people who figured out the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God. They figured it out. They didn't just figure it out with their mental intellect, because that won't work, but they learned how to shift into a different gear. They learned how to shift out of the flesh and into the power of the Spirit. And then we watched them do exploits for God and said, oh, they're so called. They have a special calling. No, they do not. They moved into a special place that is there and available for every blood-washed believer. I'm hearing God call us to attention and say, if you step into this place, I will release you to do the works of God, and I'll tell you exactly how they're done. Some of you have been in our meetings where we said one sentence by the power of the Spirit. One sentence and somebody was instantly healed miraculously. We've seen creative miracles. We've seen bones come into place. We've seen backs healed, knees healed. We've seen all kinds of stuff because of one sentence. And it wasn't because we were even walking in great faith. We were simply standing in the Spirit, attending to what is the Holy Spirit in me doing. Remember, I said it's Jesus in you that will do the works. Jesus has never stopped doing works. Never. He has never stopped. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not. The same yesterday and today and forever is Jesus Christ. He was no greater in R.W. Schambach than he is in you. He was no greater in Reinhard Bonnke than he is in you. I'm telling you, some of you have seen miracles. You've watched miracles on television. You've watched people with great power. And you said, oh, I wish I could do that. Lord, won't you give that to me? And what he's saying is you come over here and stand in this position and you learn how to operate out of this. And I'm telling you, you will see in this day people we never heard of. You know, this junk on Facebook, all endless stuff on Facebook. People are posting all their opinions and all these videos and stuff. And I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying that's a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you, we're going to start to see some Facebook videos where Joe Nobody, Jane No One, stand on a corner in the middle of a crowd and point their finger and proclaim a word, and we're going to watch stuff happen. We're going to watch people healed. We're going to watch stuff happen. You're going to see people raised from the dead in the street.
That's right.
I'm telling you, you're going to see all kinds of stuff, but we have to get in position, all hands on deck. We have to get into position, and no one can do that for you. And I know I'm talking to some people, and God loves you. You know, all of us, our flesh stinketh, all of us. All of us have had lazy moments where he said, yeah, I'd really like to do that, but oh, it's so much work. I get that, but I'm telling you, that day is over. If you want to begin this, you got to get in now. I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot of time left to do this. I'm telling you, if you want to get in this move of God, you got to get in now, which means put away, leave behind some of the lazy stuff. And I actually, right now, I'm just going to proclaim by the word of the Lord, I command that spirit of lethargy, spirit of apathy. I break your power off the body. I break laziness. I break lukewarmness off the body of Christ. I break the spirit of sleep off the body. I break that prayerlessness off the body of Christ. I break it in the name of Jesus, and I command life. I speak life. I speak resurrection power. I speak healing. I speak the very forces of God when you speak. that you'll know what to speak by the Spirit, and you'll speak it without hesitation. I proclaim boldness over the body. I see the body get the bride, her body getting up and leaving the trauma behind, leaving the sickness behind, leaving all the memories behind. Listen, all that was garbage. All that was nothing. I don't care what happened to you. Listen, bad stuff has happened to all of us. I lost everything that mattered to me. Everything and everybody. But you know what? It's rubbish. It's garbage. The memories don't even, I don't even think of it anymore. I've lost it completely. I've totally lost even the memory. It's like it happened to somebody else. Because you know why? It doesn't matter. All that matters to me is what happens now. In this next time, I don't know how long we've got, but in this next time, this next season, what we do now will matter. I mean, I remind you again that Samson, in the very last moments of his life, did more to destroy the enemy than in the whole of his life. And I'm telling you, that's us. I'm telling you, we're there. I'm telling you, if ever you picked up the jawbone of an ass, pick it up now. About a month and a half ago, I was praying by the Spirit. I was in my prayer chair. And you know, sometimes the problem with being prophetic is stuff just comes out of your mouth and you don't even know what it means. It just comes flying out. And I was praying by the Spirit. I said, give me the jawbone of an ass. Give me the jawbone of an ass in each hand. Give me the jawbone of an ass to kill the enemy, to destroy his works. I was like fervent. I'm like thinking, dude, what, you know, because when you're prophetic, you're not doing it from your head. You're doing it from your spirit. And you figure it out later. So I began to do some research and study. What does that mean? I knew there's something about this. Jawbone speaks of speaking, the jawbone. I'm like, but why an ass? Why would God defeat the enemy with the jawbone of an ass? And I did some studies, and it turns out that a donkey, kings didn't ride horses throughout history. They rode donkeys. Kings, Solomon, Jesus, they didn't ride horses. They rode donkeys. The jawbone of an ass represents the word of God in your mouth. I found that out after I said it. I'm praying for you to have the jawbone of an ass to destroy the works of the enemy. Listen, all you'll be doing is stepping into what Jesus has done and continues to do. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, to destroy the works of the evil one. And now, in this last day, I'm telling you, we as the bride, it's our obligation and our privilege to step into the finishing of that thing. We're going to tear down. Satan's trying to build a kingdom. He's a cheap counterfeiter. He's trying to do stuff. Listen, if you knew what he's trying to do, he's actually trying to clone humans. He's already succeeded at a mouse human. It's the most disgusting thing ever. He's trying to put artificial intelligence so that the machine is smart enough to see problems and program itself. And then they want to put it in a human brain so that in tandem, I'm telling you, what is he trying to do? Imitate God. He can't create. So all he can do is try to counterfeit and make something that's close to what God has done. He's just pathetic, but that's what he's doing. But I'm telling you, some of this stuff is going on the earth today. But he will never do what God has done. He will never be able to recreate the power of God. He just doesn't have it because he's a created being. That's all he is. But we are to rise up in this day and take authority and take over and determine what will and will not happen. Okay? So, sorry I'm a little bit whoo, but I felt like I was breaking open with this. I felt like a volcano, to be honest with you. And I actually, one last thing that I saw as I was praying today and just being aware, it was just more like being aware, like, oh, because I started this morning feeling like this shaking, and I knew it was really, I thought Larry's going to preach tonight, so I was feeling this shaking. I had no idea of the release, but as I prayed, I did see that bride who had been wounded, but I also saw this. It was like she turned into a mountain range today. I saw a vision, and it was volcanic, and it was explosive, and it was amazing. And I saw the power of God just being released all over the world. I don't know the timing exactly, but I know this. God's calling us to attention to get ready, because you want to be front and center, don't you? You want to be right in it. You want to be one of the ones. So do I. And I'm going to tell you, we don't know what kind of communications we will always have. We may not always be blessed with the kind of communications that we have today, where we can talk this way live. You know, we don't know how long we'll have that. I hope we'll have it. But we may not. Hallelujah. So we have to be ready to move by the Spirit as one in the Spirit into great victory. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love you guys. Hope I'm not hallelujah too fervent. but it's that I want to see the power of God in you. I want to see the power of God raised up in you. I just look forward to the day when we go, oh my gosh, look what, remember that person sat there so quietly, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look what they're preaching. Look what's going on with them. I can't wait. It's going to be like popcorn just popping everywhere. So hallelujah. So glad you joined tonight. Again, if you feel like this was God, please share it. I don't usually say that, but I feel like it was God. And I feel like people in the body of Christ need to know what God is saying in this hour.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com. We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.